The World Wrestling Federation. For over 50 years, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment.
What's our name?
We're men! Yes. Men on the
mission! Are you ready?
We're men!
Here we
men
go!
On men on the mission!
Men on the mission! Bam, bang, boom! Here we go!
Welcome to the New Gen on a Mission podcast of the North-South Connection. I'm Tim Salonka.
I'm JP.
Thanks for joining us again. As always, we're on the journey to relive the new generation era to find some of the best, some of the worst of the wrestling time period often forgotten. From Bret and Shawn at Survivor Series 92 to Bret and Shawn at Survivor Series 97, we look beyond just the pay-per-views, examine the weekly TV to see what worked, what could have worked, and what failed. How's it going, JP?
Pretty good, man. I haven't heard any Bret Hart slander across the pods this week, so I think we're all good this week.
We made it a whole week, so...
Right.
Whole week. There was someone posted... I should have clicked the article because I saw it today on Facebook, but some wrestling site posted about a Scott Hall interview who said he loved Bret Hart until he went to his house and then saw the shrine committed to Bret Hart and decided he didn't like him anymore. So,
we're going to have to cancel Scott Hall then. So.
Yeah, I know. Well, he has his own problems.
Yeah, right.
He's got a shrine
to cocaine in his house.
Yeah,
so
yeah. But yeah, that was just kind of funny reading that today. I meant to send it to you, but yeah, just dying laughing about the Bret, what Bret thinks of himself. And I was listening to our podcast last week about talking to himself about the best father and best husband, best womanizer.
He's living the gimmick, man.
He's living the gimmick, so he got to be it. That's the best gimmick, they say, right? Is your actual self. So. All right, so ready to go. Keep moving towards King of the Ring.
Yes, sir. We got a couple Raws, a couple superstars here until we get into some real fun stuff coming up that I'm looking forward to. I mean, we got some good stuff on this episode too, but like what I think of the new generation era is really about to start
here
in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I think all four of these episodes I thought had good through lines. I think like I love the King of the Ring qualifying matches because it just make it feel a big deal. So.
Right.
Excited about these. So we're starting with Raw.
Yes, sir.
Right. All right. So we're back at the Raw 5-1. This is the tape to the back half of the April 26th, so the second half. So I've kind of been doing this lately where they do two Raws taped together, which is fine because they're kind of short. It's only 2-hour show, so it's like the crowd isn't dead. So I think it's pretty good.
Right.
Again, I remember you talked last week about how they always have a different start, and this was another one where Shawn comes right out with his music hitting, like no cold open, no Vincent Macho. So like they've just been doing this every week, like a different type of open. So right away we get Shawn Michaels coming out. He does. He's loving. I just put a note that he's dancing and loving the lady. Big smiles all around. And I wrote that Macho had to be pissed because she had a huge smile for him. So. There's definitely something happened between the two. So he comes out to start. Then Macho, Vince, and Bobby start talking about the week coming up. And then Big Hacksaw comes out. Huge ovation, I thought, for Hacksaw for this match. Kind of set it up good about he's kind of ready to go. Kind of weird that he gets an Intercontinental title match because he's kind of been looking at Yoko, but. He's definitely rejuvenated from like his little break, his comeback. The match was fine. I don't know if you had any comments on the match, but it was your standard Duggan. Every time he kind of gets down, he gets the crowd to do a ho. Shawn bumped, like a boss, flying everywhere, making Duggan look super strong. The match ends on a count out, and I thought actually a pretty cool count out that Hacksaw clotheslines Shawn over the top rope, like into the fans. So like a chaotic kind of scene there. The only thing that's stupid of it is Hacksaw goes in the ring and the veteran, right, doesn't know that a countout doesn't win the title.
Right.
So it's the only thing I don't like about it, but it was a kind of fun little match. Especially I think if you're live there, like Hacksaw just has a way of getting the crowd into the match. Cause every time it slows down, he's right back. He gets the crowd into his hose. Right. So,
like the Godfather. Yeah.
just like the
Godfather. This match was like perfect for him, I thought. Like, and like his like brawling, big brawling style, like the way that Shawn just bumped around for him.
Right.
I think like both these guys need this kind of match right now because they're both kind of like lost with, who are they really feuding with? And then they're kind of getting this feels like somewhat of a heated feud. But I thought the match was fun. Like, I thought, I'm liking Hacksaw's like singlet too, like the American flag singlet kind of thing.
Yeah,
I like that look. Like it's weird how, like, you know, the older he gets, the less clothes he wears. Like when he's in like older, like later WCW, he's wearing these like gym shorts, and when he makes his like comeback in Raw in like 05-06 or whatever it was, he's like wearing little shorts. It's like, dude, like why don't you wear the singlet then? You know?
Yeah.
Like, but it was fun. It was a cool finish, but I didn't like the ending where he was kind of like doing the whole complaining and like acting like he got screwed out of the title kind of thing when he was the one that, you know, went in and caused the count out. He could have just broke the count and chased Sean down, you know, and kept it going. But he does like a little sit in afterwards too, after the match. So I like the feud. I like the contrasting styles. Like, I think they fit perfect together, but it's just still like kind of chaotic with, you know, like Perfect's in like three or four different feuds. So is Sean with Tatanka Duggan, and so is Duggan with Yoko and Sean. It's just kind of not as streamlined as I prefer it, but it's still fun either way, you know?
Yeah. It's like Yoko, we've been waiting for the Yoko Duggan blow off. So it seems like weird to kind of put him here, but I think it served its purpose. The segment was like a little bit long as far as like Hacksaw's complaining in the ring, and I actually kind of liked it. He took like chairs and like throwing them all the ring, so it had like a chaotic kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
And like, I think that's what we like both about Raw is, like, you know, it's not the scripted superstars of just squash, like, hey, just random stuff's gonna happen. So I like that, even though it went long. Like, I think it served its purpose of like, oh shit, like Hacksaw's losing his mind, like he's throwing chairs, like just stuff you don't see every day. So I like the length for that.
Yeah, and it makes Hacksaw more interesting instead of this like generic, you know, like the feud with Yoko is what it is. It's okay, but it's like cookie cutter USA versus Japan.
Yeah,
you know, kind of easy. You know, like, it's lazy kind of. But this is more of a, you know, pretty boy versus rough, like big doof, or, you know,
yeah,
ogre kind of guy. And it's just a cool little match. I liked it. So after that match, we did get a King of the Ring update, which, like, updates were kind of like boring for a little while, like in between Mania, or like going into Mania and a little bit after Mania. But now that it's like King of the Ring based, for whatever reason, I like it, because it's like, you really don't know the feud. You really don't know who's all in the tournament yet, because of qualifying matches, and you're kind of just like trying to figure out who's, you know, who's wrestling on the card. So I think like these updates have been a little more fun as far as like just piecing it together a little bit.
Yep, I agree. I mean, they're building to something, right, to the King of the Ring. So there's a little bit more to talk about on these now.
And it's the first time King of the Ring's going to be on pay-per-view. So it's, you know, it's something they really want to hype. It's not just, you know, we have five now, but you only have one every couple months. So you want to make sure you're putting everything into it, which they're doing a good job of that. And then after the update,
well, I got one thing to ask you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Who's a worse actor, Mean Gene or Hulk Hogan? Because during the middle of the updates, Gene pretends like he gets a live feed from a taped episode, which is like the most like pantomime like acting of all time. Of like, oh, what? Say that again? Right. I can't hear. It's so bad. So I had to bring that up. But again, this is like, it's almost like when they do that, you know, they're not live, like that, and the watching TV, it's like, these are the known, like, not live things. So,
it's funny. It's like, I always see, you know, I'll just see it. Like, I saw it earlier on a random episode of Nitro, like when, like with Jeff Jarrett, it was like he was clearly not talking to anybody on the phone. And just like this with me and Gene, it's like, they talk, but they don't have enough time for the other person to talk, and they already answer them.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's so, I'm always like, why, how are they imagining the other person on the line talking like that? That's not real. Like,
yeah.
But anyways, you know, yeah, I definitely, I'm going to have to go Mean Gene's the worst actor on that, for that alone. Cause, you know, Hogan's a douche. So, and then after that, we're going to get Doink versus, this is our first time seeing the Kamikaze Kid, correct?
Yep, I think this is his debut.
Yeah, it's Sean Waltman, so later the 1-2-3 Kid, X-Fox, 6, you know. so this was cool. This was like, he's a guy that I definitely associate with the new generation era. Like, you know, I just think, you know, his moment that we'll see later on, his involvement with feuds, like his style alone, like, you know, being a high flying guy that's not small because he's pretty tall, but smaller, fast paced worker kind of guy. So I'm really excited that he's in the mix now. And we're starting to see, like, you know, Mr. Hughes. We're going to have a couple other guys debut here in a couple weeks. Smoking Guns are coming. We're starting to see like a little bit more of a faster, younger kind of group coming in. So just to see him, even if he's a jobber right now, was pretty cool. I thought this was like a fun little squash with Doink. I thought, you know, Doink kind of, you know, bumped him around a little bit. Kid sold his ass off. Like, he was, you know, I can see why he gets a job out of this, like, for his job right. work, you know. But yeah, it was fun. It was something to build up Doink strong and something to, you know, watch going forward. Obviously, is like Kid didn't get any offense or anything like that. He's clearly a jobber right now. So it's just, you know, something to keep in mind going forward that he's definitely portrayed as weak. So
yeah, I also like the Doink to start the match, like before the bell even rang, just like immediately attacked him. So they had like a cube shot on 1-2-3 Kid. So I think this builds his like, hey, he's you know, Doink's like a crazy wrestler, like don't mess with him. So I kind of like that too as well.
Right, he's unpredictable.
Yeah, and then I don't know if you noticed this. Like, I felt like Macho Man commentary, either he left the booth, like his I didn't hear from Macho a lot this episode. So I'm not sure if there was some audio stuff, but like I felt like a lot of his commentary was missing. Like, it was a two man booth for a while, so I'm not sure what was going on.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I didn't really hear his like sexual harassment. I mean, maybe he was dealing with that. Maybe he was in or something. But no, I didn't really hear him that much.
Yeah, it was just weird in this match. I don't think he made a comment, so something happened. I get the next match.
Yeah, lucky you.
Oh, thanks. We got Bob Backlund in another jobber match, and he's terrible. And I like that other people have caught on that we don't like Bob Backlund. So
yeah,
I think there's a positive.
Right.
I saw in this, the Backlund gets out there and you could see in the balcony, this group of like three men stand up, grab their coats and put them on. It was amazing. Like timing of like, they never show that angle. And just for his entrance, they showed it. It was just so funny. And they did it like, so like, you know, normally they kind of do it like quietly, like, nope, they just stood right up, like flinging their jackets. So it was pretty pretty funny. I thought they also talked during the match. So the only good thing on this match is they kind of bring up some other stuff. They talk about the Duggan now is going to have a lumberjack match for Sean next week, since he tried leaving, which kind of wasn't really what happened, but they're going to have lumberjacks going there. and Backlund does, right before he does his pin that I know you hate.
Oh my God, I have this. I have this written
down. He has the double thumbs up smile. God, oh my God, it's so corny and cheesy. I actually laughed at it because it was so ridiculous.
I was like, this didn't just happen. Like, I want everybody to go watch this match on Raw. It's the 5-3 episode of Raw. It's about 20 minutes in or so. I want everybody to go watch this match. So, like, you can see why we hate Bob Backlund so much. Like, first of all, for Raw to put a double jobber match on is kind of weird in the sense that there's two jobbers facing each other. But I know Backlund gets better, like, in about a year and a half. I know he does, but
yeah.
I don't even care anymore. Like, I don't even like the character that I liked anymore because this is so bad. Like, he literally holds the guy's legs, stands over him, wait, like, it takes him forever to get the legs in position too. Like, he's like the guys you have, he's sitting there like, dude, you're just killing me. Like, you're
right.
It was Dwayne Gill too. It was Gilbert who actually is a better wrestler than Bob Backlund, but he just sits there, gives the double thumbs up, and it's like straight into the camera, and I'm like, what audience does he think? Yeah, what audience does he think likes this? Like, who do you think he appeals to? Like, did his grandma like call him after the match and be like, oh Bobby, you just really you really impressed me. I don't get this, but
yeah, it was rough. And then And then right after Hacksaw kind of comes out with the interview, and the only thing I put, the interview was right. He had a lot of firepower and talk about how he went to the bit. But I did write that this is a Vince line from him. He goes, just about Sean. He goes, Sean, he sure is pretty. So yeah. I said that Vince handed him the notes. So it was a good interview. You know, he was all sweaty and a mess, but like, hey, I want this title match. So I thought it built up, like, and we've talked about this before, the episodic nature of like, hey, next week, like this is a quick feud, right? Like kind of even like Beverly Brothers, Money Inc. Like there's a feud built up and next week you're going to get the payoff. So I really like this kind of like 2 week thing they're doing.
Oh, definitely. And at least they have a through line like that. So like when something shitty like Bob Backlund versus Dwayne Gill comes on, you get something following that that kind of keeps your interest. You know, it's not like if it was like an episode of Superstars where you would get that Backlund match and you get like a Kamala match, then you get something right. else that you could kind of wander off a little bit. This at least like reels you back in. So smart of them to do that.
Yeah, you would round off our last two matches.
Yeah. So after that, we get a Smoking Guns vignette, just your quick run of the mill vignette they've been doing, hyping them up, which is kind of cool that they hyped them up before this next match, cause it is a tag team match.
Right.
Great Captain Lou Albano comes out, which was random as hell to me. Like, I thought he was going to come out and, like, manage the opposing team against the Head Shrinkers. Like, I don't know. I don't know why he came out. I mean, I know it obviously builds to something, too, but it was just random for him to come out and do commentary for this match. A cool little touch, though. I like Albano's kind of, like, randomness that he is. But we get the Head Shrinkers versus a couple jobbers. Which, you know, basic, cool Head Shrinkers match. Albano's kind of just talking through the match. Nothing really of, like, substance gets built up. There's no angle or anything yet. But I have a feeling, you know, the connection there with Albano managing who's Alpha before.
Yep.
That there's going to be something there. So we could see something down the line. I'm not positive on that. Like, I think for some reason that he does get involved with them, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I just can't. I don't remember it. Like, they're trying to make him face, which seems like weird. Like, they're making the hedge that would make the hedge face, and they're just bringing in Smoking Guns. So maybe they were going to flip the teams. Maybe Smoking Guns were supposed to be heels and they were going to turn Head Trigger face. I'm not sure.
Right. So
I
don't remember.
Yeah. Or whether he was just a one time thing. Like, I don't know when the next time he's around. Like, it'll be interesting to see because, like, don't remember.
Doesn't he manage them though?
He definitely on? Does. Like, yeah, but right? That's like okay. 94. But
okay,
the Head Shrinkers aren't—they're not around a lot. Oh, maybe they are more pay per views than I think. I think they're around the whole time, but.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, they—it was just a little odd pairing. Like, I don't know if it was meant to be like a planting of the seed or anything like that, but it's something that's just random, which is cool. Whatever, it wasn't like offensive or anything.
Yeah.
Then after that, we get something that is offensive. We get a Kamala Swash. Terrible. It's still just boring. I'm like, I don't even have like any vigor for this anymore. It's just slow. It was a weird way to end the show. Like, I wish they would have ended it with Doink and Kid at least. Like, there'd be something like action and some guy I'd want to see. But it is what it is. There's nothing to write home about with that match. Did you have any thoughts on
that? The only thing was that, for whatever reason, Slick wasn't there. They were kind of making a big deal whether he needed Slick or not, so maybe they're trying to write Slick off TV, but yet he still can't figure to pin him off, so it seems like he needs Slick. So,
well, Slick's probably tired of his shit. He's probably, I know, like, he's like, dude, how many times I gotta tell you, man?
Yeah, you know everything else, but can't figure it out.
Right.
And the whole match, I think the last two matches, they really talk about how big the Lumberjacks are going to be. They talk about how I think Perfect is going to be a Lumberjack and Yoko. So they're making it like, man, these are like the cream of the crop that are coming out for this Lumberjack match. So I think good job that to keep the storyline going.
Right. All right. So are you ready to go on to Superstars?
Yes. So we got the 5-8 Superstars. Tape back on the same one we've kind of been watching for a little bit, the day after Mania or a couple days after Mania, on 4-6. So we got the Nasty Boys. Well, just a weird match coming up of random pairings. I don't know if you could figure out why these were together. Did you figure out why they were together or no?
No, it was that when I saw like Mr. Hughes Come Out with Money Inc. I was like, what the hell? It was weird because, you know, I made the joke before, like the last show, that there's two guys in the company now with suspenders on. Yeah. And then they come out together. I'm like, oh shit, is this like a little faction or something? Like, you know, I didn't know what was going on, but then I realized it was like a random 6-man tag. But yeah, yeah. I didn't know any clue as to why they were put together.
And it's like the Nasty Boys come out. I'm like, okay, the Nasty Boys have been feuding with Money Inc. Like, here's the blow off. And it's like, wait, it's a 6-man. So who? At first, I thought like Mr. Hughes was gonna be the bodyguard, but like, no, it's a 6-man. Like, who's their partner gonna be? I'm like, oh, Kamala. Oh, great. Like, this felt like, I know what they kind of got away from it. It felt like Nasty Boys Money Inc. needed like a blow off to their kind of feud. I know it wasn't the hottest thing, but Nasty Boys, I think from this, I've definitely grown appreciation for more. They're over. They kind of know when to get the crowd over. So I feel like we should have just done that match. Like, why bring Mr. Hughes and Kamala into it? But this had like a match of like Coliseum home video, like smack 'em, whack 'em or something like that. Like just these random, you know, matches you kind of get at house shows where they're probably just like, hey, let's throw these guys together and just tape it. Like, why not? So,
yeah, that it does feel like one of like a Coliseum home. That's like a perfect description, actually, of this match, because that's something you would always see.
Right.
And like that was like the randomness of the Coliseum home videos, is that it was pretty cool.
No build.
Right.
Just...
So maybe it was, you know, designed for that. I don't know. But it was a decent little match too. Like, it wasn't, you know, like this classic or anything, but you're right about the Nasty Boys. Like, they're over. I wish they were kind of used a little bit more prominently, like instead of just like mid card fodder, kind of just, you know. Like, they're still in their prime team. Like when they go to WCW later on in a year or so, like, they're still, like, they make a little bit of an impact. I don't think they're really being used to their, like, you know, potential. Like, even if, you know, if you're going to keep them babyface, like, how the Bushwhackers are so involved with the crowd and stuff like that, I felt like the Nasty Boys could have been like that, kind of, even. Yep. You know, if you're not going to have them be, like, these brawlers or whatever, but... yeah, kudos to them for kind of keeping this interesting, because I think they're the ones that kind of made the match a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, and so they start the match off with, you know, they're trying to pay off Kamala, and Slick's out here with them this time. And so Kamala takes the money, but Slick tells him no, and he ends up fighting Money Inc. So kind of putting over that he's a dumb person, doesn't understand money. Pretty classless. And my note here is like, man, is there a move that's put over more than Pity City? Like the match, or they kind of talk up, oh, they're going to put them through Pity City. Like, no one wants to be through that. So it's not the most devastating move, but they just, like, they're always talking about it. So something I just don't remember it. Like, I remember the Nasty Boys doing it, but like, they make it a big time. Like, that this is it is so gross, but
right.
This is a move you don't want to get hit with. So, yeah, fun little match. I think IRS gets the pin, right?
He gets a roll up on Kamala
yep. Right? He's a kind of cheap roll up to win it off. So fine, put them over. That's who should go over. But again, weird they don't pin the Nasty Boys to kind of end that feud. But
right,
is what it is. So then we go to a face to face. So it's kind of like this new event center where they have Mr. Perfect and Shawn Michaels. So I was reading some stuff in the Observer about it because it was kind of confusing. So, you know, I think we've talked about before, they used to do like those event centers for each individual market with Sean Mooney, right? So basically when Sean Mooney left, they were saving money and just taping these now. So I don't remember these face-to-faces, and I wonder how long they'll go for, but like, this is it. This was like a money-saving thing was rather than Gene tape like 30 promos saying, oh, from Chicago, from, you know, wherever, they were just gonna do these generic like fights. Like, they could fight in your city, but you have no idea. So we'll see if this goes on, because I don't remember this segment at all.
I don't know if you did either. No, I definitely didn't, and I kind of liked it. Like, I like how it's more like personalized, and
right,
I mean, it is a little confusing that you don't know like if it's market based or if it's, you know, going to show up on TV the next week or whatever, but I like the idea of it being this, like, you know, personalized segment for a little feud here. So yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then a
little insider from Dave.
Yeah, that's good. That's not, I didn't know that at all. So that's
a little tidbit there.
So from there, we go back to our boy Yoko. He's got a little squash. kind of building his theme back up. I know with the King of the Ring update that follows, we're going to have like the announcement of the rematch with him and Hogan. I don't know if you really consider that a rematch per se, but he's going to get the shot at Hogan for the belt at King of the Ring. I don't know. Like, his squashes are still cool and everything, but it's not like, I think we're so far past just him coming out and having a basic squash match now. Because, okay, you know, he's like in the Duggan feud. He just lost the belt at Mania. Like, have him kill some more credible guys.
Like Virgil again. Yep.
Yeah. Virgil, Tito, you know, whoever else you can think of that's kind of at that level. Like, have him kill those guys. Like, put him on the shelf for a month or something because he's pissed off that the title reign went the way it did. You know, seeing him have the same matches he was having in February and early March just doesn't really do anything now, because I think we're past that stage. But maybe they also real, you know, obviously not because of what happened to King of the Ring, but maybe they're kind of like, you know, we got to kind of build him back up again for some reason.
Right.
But I don't know. To me, I felt like they could have progressed the story a little bit.
Yeah, I do think like they've kind of churned on Hogan. I don't know if you kind of feel like they like, well, like Hogan's just nowhere to be found.
Right.
I feel like there's like they kind of say like, oh, Yoko's bigger. Like, he's definitely gonna be able to take out Hogan at this weight now. So I feel like they're almost presenting like Hogan's the underdog.
Yeah. I think behind the scenes is probably like the contract dispute and all that's probably going on. So they're probably not right, like trying to hype up Hogan as much, which is smart, but at the same time, you know, why did you fall to his whims at
right,
WrestleMania and go through with that? Then, you know, it's like you're not really you're the company that, you know, maps out things 6 months in advance, and then you kind of just do this on the fly thing. So it's still the title picture is still kind of shaky right now, in my opinion. Like other things are starting to fall into place, but your main, you know, title, like you said, Hogan's nowhere to be found. It's just not stable yet.
Agreed.
But yeah, we get another King of the Ring update. Like I mentioned, they talk about the, you know, the title match. You know, Brett's the number one seed in the tournament. Did they announce any more matches for the King of the Ring? I don't remember if they announced
just the Hogan else. One. Just the Hogan one.
Right. Okay. So just far, the Hogan and Yoko. Then after that, we get a crush squash as well. Always, I'm like, I don't know why, but like, I was never really a fan of Kona Crush, but now, like, I just love seeing them every time. I don't care if it's against a job or I don't care if it's a feud. For some reason, I'm really into Kona Crush right now and into his character. So anytime he's out there, this is a nothing match. It's not like it's a good match or anything, but just the character itself, I like seeing out there. So his was a fun little squash. And then we get another Luna Sherry kind of breakdown again. It wasn't necessarily like a face-to-face or anything, but they're kind of building off their feud. They replay the stuff with Bartlett. And
yeah,
this has been a good little build-up too, like kind of establishing Luna as like the, you know, the head bitch in charge now in WWF, where she just comes in and is like, you know, trying to take out the other main girl that was there. So I've been liking her build as well. You have any thoughts on any of that stuff?
Yeah, I really like this feud. It's kind of weird. I can't wait for the match, actually. Like, the way they, like, build this up, like, this is going to be a huge thing. So it feels like, all right, we're going to get the King of Ring. Like, I don't know. But just, they're definitely spending a lot of time on it. So, and they just haven't spent a lot of time recently on women's wrestling. So
right, right.
And I just put her voice, like, just makes her sound so crazy.
Did you ever think, like when we started this whole project, did you ever think you'd be looking forward to a Luna match?
No, Luna Sherry, right? Like, right. No, this has been fun.
Right.
The couple things they've done, you know, taking her out at WrestleMania and the Bartlett interview, and then just like Luna's like craziness here of like, I want to get you and kill you.
Exactly.
And just her voice makes her seem like so menacing. So definitely thumbs up so far on this angle.
Yes, sir. So what we got next after that?
So we got our King of the Ring match. So this is a qualifying match, Razor Ramon versus Tito. I don't know if they say who the winner is going to fight Brett. So I'm not sure if they like kind of hinting at that. They never like announced like the actual like qualifying brackets, like where they were going. I thought
Right.
JT's mailbag, answering one of my questions, kind of put that this should have been the Mania match instead of Razor Backlund. I totally agree.
Definitely.
The only thing I do on Tito, man, like I feel like he gets no reaction. Like the El Matador thing, I think just hasn't hit. And it's weird. They just don't. Maybe you think differently. Other people do. But like, I feel like they don't bring up his like prior run. Like this guy's like a former tag team champion, former IC champion. Like, you know, you listen to like the Place to Be, and they're talking about, you know, guys that have been, you know, excelling in their current run, and they're like, Tito's always that guy. Like Tito's great, and like you just watch these El Matadors, and they just don't put him over as like this great all-time guy.
Yeah, that's just Tim. Tim, that's because this is El Matador. That was Tito Santana.
Different. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. So I mean, hello.
But they still call him Tito. Like it's not like they only call him. Right. They waste so little time on calling him El Matador, and they've given up on the vignette. So it just feels like he's just not over right now for whatever reason.
No, I agree. I definitely agree. And I think that, you know, and this match was fun. Like it was a good little solid match. And, you know, and Razor wins with the roll up holding the tights. But I think that Tito should be the Backlund spot. Like, I think not just the Mania match, not I heard JT bring that up as well. Not just the match and Mania. I think he should have that spot on the card where he's your 80s, you know, star that's putting over people and getting more time on Raw. He works much better. He's not as boring as a promo. You know, he's not a great promo or anything, but he's not corny. Like you can still buy him as credible. So I feel like
he has entrance music.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't give thumbs up to the crowd and stuff before doing a move. So yeah, I feel like he should be in that spot instead, but here we are.
Yeah. The other thing I actually liked the end where Tito went for like a high cross body press and missed it. And they kind of flipped, or I think he kind of hit it, but Razor flipped him over too. So like mm-hmm. it kind of looked like Tito was about to win, and then Razor flipped him over. I don't know if he needs to grab the tights, but you know, it's sometimes who cares on that stuff. But it was kind of cool to like, okay, Tito almost had it, and then all of a sudden, you know, Razor's able to overpower him and flip it over. So Razor's on to the King of the Ring. They also had an illegal immigrants discussion during the middle of the match, which was awkward and kind of weird for 1993. I won't go into any more of that, but it was kind of like caught me off guard. I'm like, oh, they're really going there with this?
Right. So, I was like, I didn't see that coming, but okay, here we are.
There we go. And then we got an event center. The event center, they have Duggan in there. And he does not understand the rules of King of the Ring. Like he has to be like described. Right. Like if you win one match, you get another match, and then if you win enough, you can win it. So it's kind of funny that he kind of doesn't understand the rules of the King of the Ring. I get it because it's a new tournament, so I kind of get it. Like it's kind of us mocking like the Royal Rumble where they announce it every year, but that's because we've known it for 30 years. But I'm sure at year one it was confusing as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I thought for Duggan, like, if you're going to put him in here, like he was the king for a while. I don't know if he ever won a tournament, but I think that would be a good gimmick. I think he's got a lot going on, but this would have been a good gimmick to kind of bring up. Hey, Duggan is a former king. So, you know, maybe an odds on favorite to win it all.
That's true. I didn't think about that, but that's a good point.
So, and then I think the last thing we have is to end the night, they have Giant Gonzalez at the podium, just talking about how he's going to take Tatanka out. It was classic. Harvey does most of the talking and Giant Gonzalez at the end. I do really like this because when you're there live, this would have been the same taping as the Tatanka Gonzalez match. So it brings up heat to that match coming up. So I do like they kind of end with this little like interview segment at the podium for like a minute or two.
I just feel like Gonzalez is losing a little steam because they kind of overexpose him a little bit. But I do agree that if you were there, this would be something that you'd be like very tuned into.
Yeah, I think it's just like a good idea, right? Of okay, something else big. You know, I'm sure the people are like so tired and bored of like a 5-hour taping. They're like, oh, at least something good's coming up still. So I think it's a good idea to kind of do that. So other, I'd say pretty decent superstars. This one,
they had
big day matches, and I think, you know, if you told me Kamala, Nasty Boys versus Money Inc. and Mr. Hughes, I'd be like, okay, that's got to be a dud. But it wasn't. It was a kind of fun match. and kind of, you know, one of those like random fun matches to throw in.
Right, right. Just a little throwaway, something to entertain you kind of match.
Yep. Should we go down to Raw?
Yes, sir. So we're at the 5:10 episode of Raw, correct?
Yep, 5:10. This one is truly live. So we're going to have a big crowd ready to go for it. And they've obviously built up from the prior week, dug in. And Shawn Michaels is going to fight in a lumberjack match. So kind of big match coming up to start off.
Yeah, and the show itself, again, running with a theme here of different openings, is that, you know, it opens with Perfect and Shawn Michaels brawling. So this is kind of weird, right? Like, this is, I like it. I like what it was. Like, you know, just watching it, the segment itself, while they brawl to the outside, they, you know, it gets thrown on, I think it's famously Howard Finkel's car and messes it up.
Yeah.
Mess up the windshield. But, you know, Sean's going to fight Duggan tonight in a lumberjack match, but we have Perfect and Sean kind of acting as if they're in a blood feud. So it's kind of weird, you know, like the two, like you kind of have to piece it together a little bit. Like, wait, is he feuding with him or is he feuding? Like because he's in a gimmick match with Duggan, it feels like that should be the feud. You know, like you don't usually just throw random gimmick matches, especially in this time if you're not like in a feud. So that was kind of weird, but I do like the segment. It's a pretty famous segment too. Like, I think it's made a couple compilations, and if you're kind of familiar with this time, you know that segment. You know, did you have anything to add on?
No, I mean, I just love it for the raw, like live feel to it, like anything's gonna happen, like type thing to it. So I do really like this beginning. Just so, again, you said, like you said, something different. Definitely something different. So I have no complaints about it, even though it is like you kind of mentioned, confusing of who's feuding who, but you know, kind of brings that, like, okay, everyone's attacking each other, which can be good at times. Like, I think you can do it right of having multiple feuds at the same time.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, it'll eventually work itself out, I think. But, you know, for now, at least it's something fun. And I think they're just throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what works. And,
right. You know,
like, one thing I was listening to, like, Bruce Pritchard's podcast today. And one thing that it kind of reminded me is, he's back in creative now, like in this early 93 era. Like, he wasn't there for most of 92 and like late 91. So maybe they're just kind of trying to get a feel of, you know, who's kind of leading this show as far as like creatively. So that's maybe why you have these, like, this mix. And I think like Jerry Jarrett comes in at a certain point. So you're probably getting like different thoughts and ideas, and they're just kind of just throwing them all out there and seeing what works, you know, because.
Right.
It's not the Hogan era anymore. It's not the Warrior era, Savage era. So they don't really have that template to work on.
And they've never done live before. Like, you know, they've done, I'm pretty sure like TNT, whatever, was tapes, you know, but it was supposed to be like a live type feel, but that wasn't live matches. Like, that was live interviews, you know, whether it was taped or not. Like, it was supposed to give off the feel. Like, this is the first time they're doing like live, matches and live interviews. So I think they're trying to figure out how to kind of structure it. And so far, like, I just love this part, this version of Raw. Like, we'll see if it, like, once it starts getting to the big taping schedules, like, how quickly it dies off. You know, sometimes JT and Chan on the War Zone, right, they kind of, like, talk about some of these Raws, like, oh, four taping, this is garbage. Like, nothing happens. Like,
yeah,
you know, right now it doesn't feel like that, right? So I definitely enjoy these Raws.
And have you ever been to a taping in the 90s of Raw?
Not like in the 90s. I went in the 2000s.
Holy crap, dude. I went in 96, and it,
okay,
not knowing like how it was, it drains you. Like, it's definitely draining, because it'll be like Raw, and then the way they did it in 96, it was like Raw, then Superstars, then Raw again, then Superstars again. So like they went kind of like they broke it up, and it's very confusing, because, you know, as a 10-year-old, I didn't know what the hell they were doing. Like, I didn't know.
Yeah,
I thought it was all one episode of Raw, and I didn't realize until like years later I'm watching it back, and I'm like, oh shit, I was there for both of those Raws. You know, I'm like, I went to two different Raws at the same time. Like, it was
right,
weird, yeah, I can get the whole fan fatigue, and I know that's why they pipe in the crowd reaction, that kind of thing. So you notice the product too. That's what sucks. Like, you notice that it's not as fresh when it's not a Raw or a live episode. So I definitely get it.
Yep. And then we get first batch. Do you want to do it?
So
it's your boy.
We get Bam Bam Bigelow, who's just kind of walling away with this kind of crap against Typhoon, who I don't.
It's soft ass Typhoon. Don't forget.
The original SAT. So how? I don't get this, man. He's a 6'8", 400-pound jobber. Like I don't understand this. Like he, you know, this match sucks. Like I love Bam Bam, but this match was nothing. Like I literally wrote down for my notes, like that's all I after I watched the match. I honestly don't remember how it finished. I think he does doesn't he do a fireman's carry job? Or what's the finish on this match?
I don't have it written down. My first note was Typhoon gets a commercial break with a question mark.
Yeah.
Like, why are we making this match that long?
I know Bam Bam wins, but I think he wins with some like Samoan drop or something like that.
Yeah.
I apologize for not being as proficient, but
that's what history of WWE has. Yeah.
Samoan drop. Okay. Good. So Typhoon is. I want him gone. Like I just. Like I seriously want him. I don't know if.
Who's I can't worse, believe he's around.
So you got Kamala, you got Backlund, you got Typhoon. Those are the three guys that are like really. Rubbing me the wrong way right now. Kamala's probably the least offensive because I can just kind of like see past it a little bit, you know, like he doesn't work really long matches and it's kind of, you know, it is what it is. Backlund's like really goofy and there's almost like a, like at least he gets a reaction out of me. You know what I mean? Like at least I get pissed off when I see him like giving thumbs up and stuff like that. Typhoon really doesn't do anything for me. I literally just sit there and watch it, and I'm like, okay, I'm just waiting for it to be over when he's out there. Right, he's just so bad. Like, I don't understand.
He's just bland. He doesn't bring any offense. Like,
he's not like menacing or right, yep. fake menacing. Like, for his size, like he's probably the biggest guy in the whole company. Like size, like overall size wise.
Yeah,
he's probably like he's not taller than El Gigante. He's not like. Necessarily fatter than Yoko, but as far as like just towering size, he's got to be the biggest guy in the whole company, and he just comes off as the softest, lamest character right now. So to be a match that's, you know, not just a regular squash match against two named guys, this sucked really bad, and I just feel bad for Bam Bam here. And then after that we get a squash with Yoko again. Kind of, I guess, you know, I'm not going to echo my sentiments from the superstars, but kind of in the same vein. They're just building him back up, you know, because he's going to be in a title match. So there's not really any point in involving him in anything else since he's already in the main event. So what else do you really need to build up in that case? So
we're going to squash with him. Mm-hmm. They did announce that he's going to fight Kamala.
Right. Oh, that's
so
they
kind of bring up, okay, now he's gonna start fighting people, which I do kind of like. That, like we talked about earlier in a superstars match, like, hey, he needs to start beating up some people. So
well, can he perfect. Fight Typhoon too? Can take them both out?
Maybe he does. They had that cool thing, Earthquake, Yoko at the Rumble. So I feel like they should do the Typhoon or Yoko one. I feel like it would make sense to do it, but I don't remember that match, but I also don't remember many Typhoon matches. I try to forget them as quick as possible.
Right. Yeah. Hopefully he gives him like the stiff bonsai too, not the normal one. Just gives him a stiff one and gets him out. So.
The other thing I had was here was the only time they really mentioned Hogan again, just really quietly, like, oh, Yoko's gonna take out Hogan. Like, again, there's just like nowhere to be found.
Do you think, I mean, part of it's obviously Hogan's like Hollywooding him and not wanting to just show up for every taping, but do you think it's also like they kind of saw that the reactions weren't as big as maybe they had hoped? Do you think that's probably why they're not really like pounding it down people's throat with that?
I can't even imagine you don't even see like merchandise.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? Like there's just like nothing, like no, he was on the cover of the magazine, right? And I saw it like one time, like you would think they'd be like, oh, you know, here's Hogan on the magazine. Make sure you get it. Here's his poster. Here's the foam finger. Here's there's nothing. He's just not brought up at all.
And the last time you saw him, he had a black eye. Right. He looked skinny as shit. Macho Man beat his ass backstage supposedly. So it's like, Yeah, this is the guy you want your belt on. Okay. That's what we're doing, I guess.
Good. It feels weird. Like, even like, you know, they kind of put him in, you know, they do the King of the Ring updates. They put him in, but like, you would think they'd be doing like even the King of the Ring video. Like, it talks more about the tournament than like Hogan's going to be there, which just doesn't feel like the normal Hogan, right? Like, WrestleMania was always like, oh, WrestleMania's happened, but Hogan's going to be there. So it's just whatever happened, they just spent, or just Vince just decided, hey, we're not going to promote this guy anymore for whatever reason.
Yeah, well, it's not like Vince to just get rid of people on a whim, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Kind of followed wrestling the past week or so, but, you know, it is what it is. I'll just take the next one because it's another squash. We get Mr. Perfect comes out, has a little quick squash match. Just kind of keeping him consistent since he's kind of involved with a couple different things going on. You know, nothing really crazy here from him. Just a simple little squash match to keep Perfect strong. So that's
what we have next. I like this match, though. I thought they, who was the jobber? But I feel like there was a little bit of a sportsmanship there because they got in a huge slap fest between the two of them.
Yes,
yeah. Is that Mark Sharp? So he must have done something, but he like really, they were like bird slap each other pretty good. They did the heated flipping the channels. And the only thing that I did like from Heenan on this, the first time I've laughed at any of these, was Heenan was asking, I want to find that movie where Debbie goes to Dallas.
That's
a pretty good line.
That was such a good line. That was perfect.
It's also funny because like the internet didn't exist back then, but everyone knows about that. You know,
that's
porn,
the most famous porn of all time, right?
It's like how? It's like, I don't know. I didn't have the internet. Like, how did random cities like know about it?
And that is, you know what? That's weird too, because like when I was a kid, maybe like 95, 96, I knew what that was. Even though I've never seen it or anything like that, I knew what it was.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, exactly. I never watched a porn, didn't even know how to get them, but I knew that was one. So, definitely cracked me on that. Then we got Mr. Hughes matched up next. So he comes out. And he's got Harvey with him. And Bobby kind of mentions that he could have had him. Like he kind of let Harvey take Mr. Hughes from him. He also starts the match by going out to the ring, trying to get the ring card girl's number. So pretty funny stuff that he's trying to steal Macho's babe. And here he fights the Cannonball Kid. So they did. Kind of interesting here because they don't want to bring this up at jobbers, but it makes total sense of what they're doing. But they mentioned that he was around last week and he had a crap showing and basically got destroyed by Doink. And similar here that Mr. Hughes just kind of takes him and pins him in 3 minutes.
And he changes his name. Like, he was a Kamikaze Kid.
Cannonball Kid. Yep.
And he on his tights is L Kid, which is the Lightning Kid, which is what he was for the first, you know, couple of years of his career. So this match was fun as hell to me. Like, I think the way he bumped on this match was crazy. He did that like sidewalk kind of boss man slam kind of move, and Kid got up like crazy. Like, he's earned a spot, definitely. You can see it, you know, even if you didn't know who he was going forward, it would catch your eye, you know, how he's just getting ragdolled out there. I thought this was a good like opponent for Mr. Hughes too, because he kind of needed
perfect.
Like,
yep.
You know, he was kind of off to like a little bit of a shaky start, you know, fun, but nothing like to memorable. And now you get this and it's kind of like, okay, cool. Like I can kind of see what he does now. So it kind of, you know, brought me in a little bit. So fun little squash there.
Yeah. And that's like we talked about Mr. Hughes, like that's a perfect guy, like a littler guy that he can kind of throw his weight around to attack. So I like that.
Yes, sir. And then, so after that, we get the Lumberjacks start to file out now as we get ready for the main event. You know, everybody's kind of wearing their Lumberjack garb as they come out. And it's weird, you know, if you get Yoko, you get a couple other guys come out. And it's weird that, like, the match is Duggan versus HBK. The feud is those two right now. And Duggan just comes out and attacks Yoko, which is a great touch, in my opinion. Like,
yep.
For him to just go straight after him, like, you know, because that is like, if you look at all the pairings of the guys out there, that's obviously the biggest blood feud out there because of, you know, how Yoko put him on the shelf. So for him to acknowledge him at least, you know, was cool. Like, I'm glad they did that, that he didn't just walk right by him and kind of just look at him. Like, if he's out there, you got the chance to attack him, do it. So, That was a nice touch. And HBK comes out in crutches, kind of like the like a page out of Lawler's book, kind of. You know, is what it reminded me of him saying, you know, he's not gonna be able to compete. And then, you know, a perfect Duggan just like attacks him and gets a hold of him, and he's just all over him to begin the match. So Sean's like perfect in this role of being the chicken shit heel, you know, a bumping machine. Duggan's perfect in the role of being like this brawler. This is the other match that I think, you know, of this feud that's pretty famous. You know, if you're gonna watch like your DVD compilations or whatever, it's gonna be on there. I didn't really like how the match ended, like with Perfect coming out and causing like a DQ in a lumberjack match. Like, I didn't know that was even a thing necessarily, but then you get like the normal brawl erupts because all the guys are out there, kind of like how they do the when they build the Royal Rumble kind of thing. So it was a cool visual to end the show. It was a much better way to end the show than they have the last couple weeks. So I like that touch on it, but the finish was a little weird. But I guess you got to keep. You can't, you know, you're not going to strip the belt off HBK or anything like that. And
right.
You kind of want to make them, you want to keep the Perfect Sean feud going, I guess, as well. So it makes sense, but it just, I wish I could have saw some, I wish I could have saw, like, you know, maybe a lumberjack accidentally screw Duggan or something and Sean win. But what'd you think of that? Yeah,
Duggan's never gone clean.
Right. Yeah, that's true, too.
So I love the start. The Duggan just goes right after Yoko and kind of sets, I think, both of them, right? The start, Duggan is in a feud with Yoko and Perfect's in a feud with Sean. So, like, you kind of have this mid-match, right, kind of connecting the two. So I think they kind of did that perfectly, you know, to kind of put over both things. I, the one thing that's kind of weird on the Lumberjacks is, like, it's actually good visually, but there's so few Lumberjacks. So it just makes the roster look really thin. I don't know if you saw my boy Terry Taylor's out there slumming it. But, like, I like it because, like, some Lumberjack matches, there's so many Lumberjacks, and it's like they all get in each other's way of trying to throw the guy, and they look fake, like, throwing a guy back in.
Yeah.
But so like, and visually, it's just easier to see the ring. We don't have, like, 20 guys on the outside. But because there's not that many guys, like, it just kind of looks like pathetic. Like, they found four Lumberjacks. Like, this is our roster. Yeah, it was a fun match. I totally get why they would have the two kind of feud. And I get that Duggan's never going to be pinned clean. So kind of sucks, like, on that. Like, Sean probably should have won clean, but it's just that's Duggan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
And then the only thing I do have after the I don't know if there was anything else on Raw. I don't think that kind of went off right with the brawl.
Yeah, that's what went off with the brawl.
Yeah, so then they did have two matches afterwards, which is kind of weird. They didn't have these on there, but they had Smoking Guns defeat Damian Demento and Brooklyn Brawler. So a weird team. But it would, like, I don't get why you wouldn't just have that on Raw to have it right. As their debut. And then there was also a Tatanka. I'm so proud of him beating Terry Taylor. So yes. I'm very that put me over. I wish that would have been a Raw. We definitely should have been on.
Right. Yeah.
Every best of Raw.
I'm with that.
Yeah. So interesting way to, like, I don't know if it was the timing thing that they had those matches scheduled and couldn't fit them in, you know, that they just still ran with them. But kind of weird that those two matches feel like Raw matches, you know, kind of decent name guys that you put over the talent you want to put over in Smoking Guns and Tatanka. So.
I agree.
I thought that was interesting. Should we go to plugs then?
Yes, sir.
All right.
So I want to give a shout out to our boy. I don't know if you're familiar with him, Robert Silva. He gives us a shout out every week on his podcast. He covers, like, music, wrestling, you know, things like that. He's been involved with, like, the Place to Be Nation and everything like that for a while. So just want to give him a shout out. He just came out with the Prince podcast, covering his career. Obviously, on our feed, we got, like, the Wrestling War Zone. We got Montreal to Boston coming out now, which I don't know if they're going to – I don't know what their schedule is going to be like, but I'm really interested in hearing that whole clusterfuck Vince Russo 2000 WCW that they're doing. You got the Ruthless Aggressive podcast, which Jake's been doing a hell of a job there, like, rotating guests and not keeping – like, for him to have, you know, different people all the time and still keep a consistent schedule and product has been awesome. And then you got, you know, our boy Aaron with the year that was coming down to the finale, and I like the way he did it. You know, with like we know the last 2 years are 87 and 97, but he's doing them both together, so it's like you got to wait to find out on the show, you know, which one's first. And he's taking, you know, like his comments and everything for both years. What year are you thinking is going to be number one?
See, I feel like 87 is going to win just because there's less. That's just my thought. Like,
so I hope it's 97.
Yeah, I feel like 97 is probably there is some better highs, but because there's some, you know, you have 12 pay-per-views that year, 13 or 14. I'm not sure if he's calling like one night stands it. I feel like there's, you know, just more chances of just bad stuff, right? Kind of weighing things down. And the Mania is not the best, right? There's a great match, but it might get, and even the Rumble, right? I think both those might get hurt a little bit.
There is no Rumble yet in 87. Yeah. So, I don't know how that, I'm interested to hear how the breakdown is of that. Like, I honestly didn't expect 87 to be in the top two, but it makes perfect sense when you look at the formula, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's also interesting because like 85 and 86 were like some of the lowest shows. They kind of won because they were kind of the opposite, right? They had nothing and they weren't that good. So Mania 1 and 2 are not great. So they kind of just ended up at the bottom, right? So it's like kind of weird that the next year that has only two kind of ends up at the top. So I think it, you know, that's where it's hard to predict which one would be.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I actually thought 2002 was, I was like, oh, he didn't do 2002 yet. And I was scrolling through my pods. I'm like, wait, I listened to 02 like a month ago. So like I forgot 87 was still around because I was literally like, oh, it's 02 and 97 left. And then I was like, wait, I already listened to this one. So I don't know where my mind is sometimes.
Yeah. But he's done a hell of a job.
I'm
you know, excited to hear that 87. I don't know. I don't know if he's splitting into two shows. I know he said he's taking comments for both at the same time, so I don't know how he's going to do that, if he's going to do them together, but you know, 97 is my favorite year of all time in wrestling, so yeah. I'm really eager to hear like just him talk about 97 in general, because it kind of sucks at the same time, you know, like knowing that this project's like coming to an end, because you know, he's put all this work into it, and you know, for him to have this, like I'm like proud of him for going through the whole thing, but it's kind of like bittersweet, you know.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. It's like something I was like, when he says he does, it's like, oh, it sounds awesome. Just watch every pay-per-view here. And then when you hear him took 3 years to do it, it's like, oh man, I can't believe that. Like, it doesn't feel like that much. Like, oh, just watch every pay-per-view. Like, doesn't feel like a lot of time. And then when he talks about Aaron does this with everything, but like, you know, now in the Rumble is like, he gets so detailed into it. So it's not just like throwing it on the background and saying, yep, I watched it. Like, no, he's all over it. So,
well, and to have the recall, like, you know, you know, he didn't just watch 2006, you know, like a week before he recorded. He watched that probably 2 years before.
2 years ago,
he recorded. So to have that recall as well, you know, like, can't say enough good things about that show. So,
yeah, but then I just want to give a plug for Now Into the Rumble. Man, one of the funniest ones. They did Bushwick or Luke and on Warlord and shit on, who was the other one they shit on? Boston a little bit. Great. It was great. I just, the whole like the first 20 minutes of just them talking about Luke and how pathetic he is as a Rumble participant. I was dying laughing walking my kid around yesterday, listened to it. So great stuff. And then, you know, you mentioned everything on the North South Connection, but like a Quadapod, so Jenny Position, Place to Be Network, Pop Experience, and then North South Connection, all of them, you know. Listen, subscribe, rate, all great stuff.
Yes, sir. We definitely appreciate it. All right. So you ready to knock this last Raw out?
We got Superstars. Sorry. Right? Superstars. Yeah. Superstars. So this is the last one taped from the same 4-6 taping. So we're kind of getting, you know, pretty stale product. But I don't think it's that bad of a Superstars for being, you know, kind of the end of a taping. I did notice like the crowd in the background, like definitely was dark and definitely looked like there'd been a lot of empty seats. I'll tell you the exact match where there's empty seats, but we start with Steiner Brothers standard squash to win a team that they've really been bringing up now So kind of interesting. They've kind of changed the tone, but they've really been bringing up Money Inc. now that they're ready for Money Inc. You know, I think we skipped. They've definitely been a couple of promos where they bring up Money Inc. So they definitely pivoted off. Beverly Brothers are kind of gone, nowhere to be seen. And Nasty Boys aren't kind of around to challenge them. So it's the Steiner's Brothers to take. So good start. I think Sebra is always fun to start a taping off of because they are, you know, athletic and have cool moves. Then I think, you know, if you're tuning in, you would definitely be impressed by them.
Right. Yeah. It's just simple, you know, like if you're going to do the normal squash formula, at least they're entertaining guys like the Steiners that, you know, keep you interested, you know, not Backlund or Kamala, Typhoon, anything like that. So, yeah, this is fine. And then after that, we got a face-to-face this time with Duggan and Yoko. So, you know, I like that they're doing this. I guess, you know, when they did it with, who did they do it with last? Sean and Perfect? Who did they do with the last face-to-face with?
Sean Perfect. Yep, Sean Perfect.
Yeah, so they're doing it with, like, the actual feuds instead of the little side feuds or whatever. So
yep.
That's kind of making a little bit more sense of it. It kind of keeps you, you know, invested in the feud. So I like when they have these. You know, they're 2-for-2 so far, in my opinion, that, you know, they're building something here. And then afterwards, we get a Mr. Hughes squash, which is okay. It's not as good as the Cannonball Kid one.
Yep.
I'd like to see him kind of, you know, have a couple more, like, regular singles matches against bigger guys now instead of just these squashes. Like, I kind of feel like, you know, he can, you know, get elevated into that role. Not necessarily like a feud or anything, but at least, you know, like a Virgil match or something like that, Terry Taylor match, something, you know, that can kind of see where he's at. But then after that, we get a Smoking Guns vignette again. I'm kind of, like, tired of these at this point. Like, I'm just ready for them to come in.
They're every week. Yeah, they're
right. I like the Smoking Guns, but I don't remember them, their early ones. So I'm curious to see. Like, I'm just like, shit, like, come on. Like, one thing I love about the 90s is tag team wrestling because, you know, until the end of the 90s, it kind of sucked. But, like, this stage, like, there's so many good teams and it's so memorable. Like, you know, like, everybody's will make fun of, you know, oh, you like them because they have matching gear and all that. Yeah, I actually do. Like, I like the
right.
Whole,
that's part of a tag team. Yeah.
Yeah. I like the cohesion. So, like, I'm just ready for, like, a new tag team to come in. Like, I'm almost more excited for, like, new tag teams to debut than I am singles guys. Save for one that we're going to talk about later, but, I'm ready for them to be here. So, hopefully that's soon. There's a Backlund squash. Like, I don't know if there's really much to really say on that. Like,
They had some comment about don't count Bob Backlund out. I don't know what that means, but
I have.
It said it. he's done.
The Peacock, if the Peacock fast forward feature was actually better, I'd honestly fast forward through his matches. But if I were to fast forward, I'd get too lost because Peacock sucks. But yeah, he, you know, it is what it is on that. So we got that, and then we got a Luger interview, which was kind of cool. Like, he comes out and they're kind of going over his, you know, plate in his forearm, which they're kind of building up. I like that. Like, Luger's been a very dynamic character so far. Like, he's come in and, you know, like, as a narcissist, it fits him perfect. He has this, like, swagger about him where it's like, yeah, you know, like, okay, I got this play tomorrow. Like, what are you going to do about it kind of thing? Like, you know, I'll knock people out if I feel like it. I look better than everybody. I'm stronger than everybody. Like, I love his attitude. So I always like when he's on the screen, like, he's somebody that, like, draws your attention. And he's just playing his role perfectly. Like, I don't know. What are we in May right now? So in 2 months, like, when things happen, like, I know it's a great moment and everything, but I don't know if, like, the character fits him.
Right.
You know?
No. So. He loves being – this is a great interview. Did you also notice it was in a different arena? So
yep.
So they clearly, like, had this extra –
Who was the lady, too? I didn't write it down.
So Bonnie Blackstone, who I read
– Oh, yeah. She's from GWF.
Yeah, so I read an Observer because I didn't know who she was, that Jim Ross is big on her. So that's a Jim Ross hire.
Yep. She was.
I have no idea who she was. Never
I think she was involved in the guy that ran Global. I think she was his wife, Global Wrestling Federation. I'm pretty sure. I forget his name, doesn't it? Or the guy that ran the Wrestling Channel that showed. Whatever, I'm not the expert on that. Don't take my word on that. But yeah, she's a somewhat of a name in the lower, like, independence wrestling. So,
yeah, I liked the interview.
Me too.
From that, I don't, you know, she didn't do the best job. She was okay.
Right.
But like Luger was so, I just put so intense for this. It's got the classic like superstars, like that I think of Superstars Arena. Like, I don't know, like it's like the balcony that overhangs. Like, I feel like they must go to this arena a couple of times to do a couple of tapings there, because I definitely remember this type of, I'm pretty sure this is the same arena that they do Sean Smile speech at, or has that look of it. And the crowd is like getting behind it big time. Like, they're screaming at Luger. So like Luger and just kind of digging it, like that he's getting the crowd all riled up. So I definitely thought it was a great, great interview. So then we go to the event center first, or do you got Virgil's match first?
We got Virgil squash.
Virgil, yep. Yeah. So Virgil, nothing squash. I put Virgil, but I didn't know if this was before or after. Nothing squash. It is what it is. He's a guy that, like we talked about, could have been sent again to Yoko. That match was 6 months ago. We can throw him out again. Like, no one's going to care. Like, oh, we saw that match already. But yeah, whatever. Keeping him around. So they go to the event center, and it's really crazy that Gene has another interview with Hulk Hogan. The interview is garbage again from the site, but after Gene goes that, man, people are, and not to Hogan, but just to side comments, is like, a lot of people have been talking about Hulk isn't focused on his wrestling anymore, but just focused on his movies. And this could be jeopardy for his title. So again, they're like planting seeds of like, well, Hogan doesn't care about wrestling anymore. Like, his mind is in movies, like he's done, which I think they're probably realizing, like, this guy's walking away again. We, you know, should maybe talk him up as an actor. So I thought that was kind of strange to come from, like kind of shitting on a guy that's in your promotion still.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of glad they are doing that, but yeah, it's very weird. I don't get it.
Yeah, and then Luger had an interview too. I just put it so good in this role. I just love it. Like you kind of mentioned, like, what happens is a great moment, but man, he's probably not the right guy for it. He's better suited for this role.
Right.
And then we have a Shawn Michaels squash match. Again, Vince wants to hear him sing again, which is always funny. And then the whole match, they just brought up perfect Shawn feud. So definitely that's becoming a bigger deal, which again, I kind of like, cause it'd be a big, big marquee match.
Mm-hmm.
Then you would go to the last match.
Yep. So then we get the, Stellar Classic Clash of the Titans, Giant Gonzalez versus Tatanka. I don't know, man. I love Tatanka and like the run he was on and everything, but he's not the type of guy that can carry a match with Giant Gonzalez. Like,
it's, but who just can? Not,
right? Yeah. Who exactly? Who can? Giant Gonzalez is just like falling over himself. Like, I have like a like 2-month, 3-month old German Shepherd right now, and you know their legs are like barely kind of like, they take a while to like get formed and attached in the back, and so she is always like falling over the place, and this is what Giant Gonzalez reminds me of, just like this puppy who's got these huge paws, doesn't know what to do with them. He's just falling all over the place, kind of, and you know, he's just lumbering, I guess the word is.
Lumbering's a good word, I like that.
You know, the match sucked. It was, I like that Tatanka gets to advance, you know, Giant Gonzalez is like the ref bump and gets the DQ, which was weird. Like, I know you're not going to, like, kill Tatanka with Giant Gonzalez, but it's a fucking giant. Like, he can do that, you know? Like, it's not like Tatanka's getting killed by, I don't know, Kamala or Papa Shango or something. This guy's a giant. Like, he can do it. He could have choked out Tatanka, like you know, do his little choke slam and not let go of the choke and get a DQ that way or something. Like, you can do it with certain guys. Like, you don't have to, you know, protect Tatanka against Giant Gonzalez in that sense, in my opinion, but... you know, the finish sucked, like the match sucked, but Tatanka advances, so that's what we wanted. We didn't want Giant Gonzalez in the King of the Ring. That would have been a shit show.
Yep.
you know what I mean? Could you imagine, like, Shawn Michaels versus Giant Gonzalez in the first round or something? That would have been crazy. I don't even know what that would have looked like. But, yeah, so we get Tatanka to advance. Then after that, we get that face-to-face again, this time with Money, Inc. And yep. They're talking about the Steiners this time, so... It looks like we're going to get a good, solid feud out of them, out of those two, the Steiners and Money, Inc., which does happen, I believe, a prolonged feud. So, like, what I like about building to the King of the Ring now is that not only are we getting, like, these new faces coming in, which I'll mention another one in a second, but we're getting, like, you know, kids coming in. We're getting these feuds built up that are more consistent, you know, Steiner's Money, Inc. We're getting
right.
Sean and Perfect and Doug and Yoko. We're getting more things that kind of solidified going forward as we go into the summer. So that's good to see. Then they also kind of announced after this face-to-face that, like, kind of on a whim, like just like the last minute, you know, next week is the debut of Adam Bomb. So Adam Bomb is like B-level Sid to me. Like he's the, like, as far as like my fandom goes, like he's like a Sid type, not quite the charisma of Sid and not like quite the awesomeness of Sid, but in that same mold, like he's this tall, athletic, just cool ass character, in my opinion. Like I've always loved Brian Clark, whatever his real name is, the Wrath, like, you know, every like iteration of him I've liked. So I'm pretty pumped to see this going forward. You know, like Adam Bomb is a huge, huge fan favorite of mine in this era. So that's going to be cool to see as well. We got the kid coming on, you know, we got a Smoking Gun soon. So yeah, I'm pretty pumped to see like the landscape going King of the Ring on as we go forward here.
Yeah. I had a couple notes on a couple of things. One, Jack Gonzalez wears his fur. Miss his fur again. His selling is so bad. It's so comical. I'm like, him like flailing around. And this is where I put the crowd. It was like empty for this match. Like there was no one left in there. Like if you look, the seats were all red. You could see most of the arena was black. I actually think that he did a good choke slam on Tatanka compared to how big Tatanka is. Like Tatanka's a big guy and he actually got him up more than he gets most people. But God, the stupid choke is so lame. To choke him out. Like he's just bad. And then the contract signing, I did like Money Inc. saying, they kind of talked about how they, you know, Gene's like, well, you're gonna fight the Steiners, and the Money Inc.'s like kind of playing chicken heels, but also doing their job, like, well, we gotta review the contract before we do anything. Like, we're not just gonna go out there and sign anything. Like, we're a corporation, we have to check our risk. So that was good. And then they also talked about the mega idiots. So again, shitting on Hogan. So it seems like a common thread. Like, we're not going to public Hogan and we're going to let anyone take a shot at Hogan if they want. And of course I wrote Adam fucking Bomb as my last note. Cause I'm pumped for him. Like I was definitely part of the Bomb squad. Just a guy that so much potential, I feel like, and they just never hit with.
Oh, and have you seen like, speaking of the Bomb squad, he's got, like, those are for sale again. Those footballs and stuff that he used to sell.
I won so bad.
Yeah, on Twitter, if you follow him on Twitter, like, he sells those, like, the official ones. So it's like, oh, man, it's so awesome.
I would definitely be getting one. And they also for next week, they talk about the Sean is going to fight Crush in a King of Ring qualifying match. So, you know, another good this fun week coming up next week, I think, on Superstars. You know, this was probably of all four things. I think the Superstars was the worst of the four episodes we watched today. It was, you know, but it makes sense. The end of the taping, like, you got Giant Gonzalez in there as a qualifying match. I get why they had to have him in there, right, to put him over as menacing, but, you know, the match was bad. So,
yes, sir, I agree with you.
All right. Anything else? Or we go on to awards?
I think we're ready.
Ready? All right. Let me get to my sheets. We got most new gen outfits.
I don't know. You go. You got anybody in mind on that?
I don't know
if anybody like stuck out.
I'll go 1-2-3 kid. Given his like changing and his like jobber, like you kind of mentioned, like L Kid he had on there, like he had even the wrong name that they called him. Right. So I think it's like a very new gen thing to do. That's more like a WCW thing to do. It's like name the wrong thing on there, but I get that this is, it's like known look. Like, I'm pretty sure that's what he dresses in the video games, is like that kind of like lightning bolt.
Oh, like it definitely blue. Is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go Luna, just her whole style. Yeah. With the hair and the face paint and everything. So I'm going to go Luna.
All right. Good. Most new gen performer.
I'm going to go with Sean with the Doug and Madge. I'm going to go with Sean.
Yeah, Sean. I'm going to go Luger. Like, I know he's not known for his this is the new trend. Everyone thinks of a Luger, but like I think we both just like it so well.
Oh, cuz
it
awesome.
Is him. Yeah. Yeah, it is him. Oh man, now we got some competition. The worst Smasher segments.
Oh, it's Backlund. The thumbs up. When he did a double thumbs up, I did a double bird to my TV. So it's definitely Backlund.
I'm gonna go soft ass Typhoon. Once again with his make it Bam Bam. He also, we didn't mention it, but he also split Bam Bam's head open somehow. I don't know. I wasn't gonna rewind to watch that match again, but I couldn't figure out where it happened. But Bam Bam got like caught on the top of his head, which is pretty hard to do.
Yeah, so maybe, especially because it's on fire.
Right. Yeah. Unless maybe cut it shaving, like before the match, and Typhoon busted open. But yeah, it was kind of strange.
Yeah.
The best match segments.
I really like the first Duggan HBK match. Like, I like them both. But I like the first match more, and I think I'm gonna go with that as the best match.
I'm gonna go with Duggan versus Yoko.
The face to face.
The face, not the face to face. When they brawled to start the match.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That was awesome.
I'm gonna go with that because I thought that was just fun, and it's a feud for Yoko, so I thought that built it up. Awesome. Stock up.
I got the 1, 2, 3. Well, he's Cannonball Kamikaze Kid right now. For being a jobber and standing out the way he is, I think his stock is quickly rising. So I'm gonna go with him.
All right, I'm gonna have to go with Adam Bomb. He didn't do anything, but he was on the he was on awesome. The end. But he was on the end. I literally put Adam fucking Bomb as my last note. Yes,
I put a bunch of exclamation points. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah, so pumped for him. And then our stock down.
Mine was he's a guy that I'm not crazy high on, but I was starting to like him, but now like the luster's off, and that's Giant Gonzalez. I'm just ready for him to be out. Like the other guy, like Backlund, Kamala, I don't think your stock can go any lower for me, but
right,
you know, Gonzalez, I'm gonna have to go with him.
Yeah, I've been going Hogan a lot lately, but he's just like nowhere to be found. I'm gonna have to go Giant Gonzalez too, because that was bad, and it was just comical. Like, I think people were
right
in the crowd, and
right,
and that's not what he's supposed to be like. Like, I don't know why they taught him to sell like that. Like, it's just, it's not effective. It doesn't make anyone look good.
Exactly.
Because the heart's part. So I would agree on that piece. So fun weeks. With really bringing up King of the Ring qualifying matches. Like, I think these are like memories as a kid, like being so pumped to watch them on a Saturday morning. And so far they've delivered. Maybe Tatanka Gonzalez didn't, but I was kind of pumped for the match a little bit.
At least the right guy went over too.
Right guy went over, yeah. So I think those have been fun, and then you kind of got a couple little feuds that you never thought of as Sean Duggan. You got Sean Perfect. You kind of got fun stuff happening on Raw as well. So fun four episodes once again.
Yeah, man, we got some really good stuff coming up. So like, we may go just like a Raw and a Superstars for the next couple episodes, because we might have some more things to sink our teeth into. We'll see how it goes, but there's some really good stuff coming up soon on the next couple episodes, especially Raw, that I'm looking forward to. So
yeah like the debuts on Superstars, Smoking Guns, I know are coming. We talked about it in a bomb.
Our namesake.
I was about to say they gotta be around here somewhere too. So
yeah,
this summer's definitely picking up, so I think this will be a fun couple weeks coming up. We'll see how long it lasts, because you're big on King of the Ring. This is a paper you haven't watched much as a kid, so it's just one I don't have as much fondness for, but I know it has good matches, and Bret Hart, isn't it so much, it's gotta be good.
What else do you need, right?
Exactly. Right, what else you need? And then I love the build up to SummerSlam, so it feels like we're gonna have a lot of fun months coming up ahead. You'll see if it slows down at any point, but like, I'm just pumped for a lot of these things to happen.
Yeah, I'm really like with the SummerSlam build too. Now that like it just kind of hit me what kind of matches are there that I really like.
Right.
Yeah, I think this whole summer is gonna be cool. So I'm looking forward to it.
All right, well, we'll see you again, everyone, in 2 weeks. Thanks for all the feedback, and keep rating and reviewing all the Quadapods podcasts. Appreciate everyone's feedback.
Yes, sir.